Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Lay of the Land. I'm thankful to say our guest is available to us now. Welcome to the show, John. John Nichols is a well-known author and columnist and a friend, and he's given many speeches throughout the state, so I think many of you know who John is, and thanks a lot for joining us, John.
Nate, I'm so honored to be with you. I'm sorry I was a little late coming in, but from what I understand, you entertained everybody brilliantly.
Well, we did our best. We had a lot of plates spinning, and I'm sure everybody would have really enjoyed it if they could have seen it, but of course they couldn't. So,
Well, that's you know, as they say, you really do have both a face and all the skills for radio.
That's exactly right. Exactly, especially the face. So thanks a lot, John. I would like to really start by because we make a big deal in rural Wisconsin about identity of knowing people. Could you give us just a little background about yourself? A lot of people have heard you speak, but maybe they don't really, you know where you grew up, you know, where you got your education. Can you give us just a little background about John Nichols?
I'll do my best, Nate. Look, I'm 100% rural. I come from a family that first settled in Wisconsin in the 1820s, down around Mineral Point in Iowa County, and that's on my dad's side. And so my family's been rooted in that part of rural Wisconsin, you know, now for a couple of years we'll be celebrating 200 years. On my mom's side, they came out of Vermont and arrived in Iowa County, down in Wyoming Valley, in the 1840s. And I've still got relatives out in that area. And so my family has always been rural, always been a farm family. My brother-in-law still farms down in Walworth County. I was born and raised down around Union Grove in Racine County. And so spent, you know, went to small town schools, high school, the whole bit. And so when we talk about rural issues, to me, they're sort of heart and soul issues. That's where I'm from. And I have to tell you, I'm still, I would say, most comfortable in a lot of Wisconsin small towns, perhaps because I think I have family in almost every one of them. But I did end up going to college and ended up out in New York, of all places, at Columbia. Where I ended up getting a graduate degree. And the funny thing about Columbia was I lived in an apartment building there, or a small place, where there were more people in my apartment building than there were in the town that I came from. And so my whole life has been kind of explaining rural Wisconsin to people who I think maybe find it hard to imagine a town that has 500 people or 1,000.
That's very cool, John. That's very cool. Thanks for taking the time to do that. I really appreciate that, and I'm sure my listeners do as well. So thank you. So let's chat a little about the Biden administration. When you and I have chatted a day or so ago, you had some thoughts about how the Biden administration is impacting rural Wisconsin. Would you give us a little background on that?
Sure, I'd be glad to. I've been writing a lot about it and covering a lot of the fights. I will say this. To my view, both the Clinton and the Obama administrations really had a hard time wrapping their heads around rural America. And I think they were well-intended. I've no doubt that both of those previous Democratic presidents cared about rural folk, and were concerned, but I don't think they really brought in most cases, the right people to deal with the issues. And the Republicans were even worse. And so you ended up in a situation where rural America has kind of been off the radar for a long time. I think the Biden administration has made some very, very good hires. And they've got quite a few people, including Biden himself, who I think get that rural America needs to be paid attention to. And if you look at the American Relief Act that came out a while ago and some of the other recent responses to the pandemic and other things, there's been at least some consciousness of rural America and some efforts to actually respond. The infrastructure bill has some pretty decent stuff for rural communities and some consciousness there, especially in the wireless broadband build-out, which, as you well know, Nate, you've fought on these issues for a very long time. I mean, that's vital for rural at this point, because the fact is that rural communities have suffered terribly by being cut off from the rest of the country in many cases. And so there's no question that I think Biden gets it a little better, and I think his administration probably gets it a lot better. But at some fundamental level, delivering on these issues is still a real challenge. And I'll give you probably the best example, and that is that, you know, rural people aren't very different than urban people on a lot of issues. Certainly, rural folks care a little bit more about farm issues. They care a little bit more about, small town issues and that. But at some fundamental level, rural folks are, they've got the same problems that urban folks have. And one of the core problems, especially for rural communities, is Medicare, right? And Medicare and Medicaid just aren't sufficient. And the Build Back Better plan has some really good stuff in it for providing dental, vision, and hearing. And you might say, well, you know, that's an issue for everybody. It's not just a rural issue. Wrong. Because folks in rural areas who, remember, rural areas aren't as rich as a lot of urban areas, and also who have to travel long distances to get their hearing aids, to get their glasses, to get, you know, the dental help and stuff like that. When it's super expensive and when it's really an added burden, that's just a doubly big problem for rural America. So just that component of it is a very, very big deal. And I can run down the whole list. There's a lot of other things that are there. And so on many levels, I think the Biden administration is pretty good. Where I think there's a problem, and this is not a problem of Biden per se. I've interviewed the guy over the years, and, you know, again, I think he actually, from a lot of experience, has a concern and an interest in rural communities, but not always an understanding. And I'll tell you right off the bat, number one thing that needs to happen, and this is, to my mind, a core rural issue. They've got to get rid of Louis DeJoy as the Postmaster General. This guy's all about cuts. He's all about, you know, downsizing the Postal Service. And you know as well as I do, Nate, when you shut a rural post office or when you shut a sorting center, which creates a situation where rural folks can't get their mail for two or three more days than what it used to be, that has a devastating impact on small towns. And so I would like to see the Biden administration go a lot more aggressively on renewing the Postal Service. I also think there needs to be a really stepped up commitment to rural schools to make sure that rural schools stay open. That's absolutely vital. And then over at the Department of Agriculture, I'd give one core thing that I think is vital. A couple of years ago, both the Congress and the federal government really screwed up milk pricing and created a situation where they did some averaging on milk pricing that's just devastating for dairy farmers. And so for a state like Wisconsin, we just have some technical stuff that's got to happen as regards milk pricing and a couple other issues. If that doesn't happen, and if those commitments aren't made, we're going to continue to lose a devastating number of dairy farmers. And as you well know, again, Nate, in a lot of parts of Wisconsin, not all of it, but in a lot of parts of the state, when you lose dairy farmers, you really do lose a lot of the underpinning of the rural economy.
For sure. John, I'd like to recycle. I agree with everything you said. I'd like to recycle to the issue of broadband, because that, I think, is just such a fundamental piece to rural Wisconsin going forward, because it not only is a nice thing to have for communication purposes, but it is a fundamental piece for economic development and leaning forward, because young people are willing. We're at a point here where young people are thinking they'd like to go back and raise their children in the communities that they grew up in, but they are obstructed by economic opportunity in their home communities. Well, with access to the internet, they can work anywhere in the world, provided that resource is available. And the fact that Republicans are having a hard time trying to find any money to do that puts, I think, us in a very advantageous position politically to make the point this is a fundamental resource for rural Wisconsin. What do you think?
I totally agree. And I think, look, let's go back to the original sin. Back when Scott Walker was governor of Wisconsin, he turned down high-speed rail, which is an issue for rural and urban folks. But then he also turned down federal broadband money under the same theory. He didn't want the federal money to come in, because if he accepted it, then the state would have had to make some commitments as well. And I think people forget that Scott Walker set Wisconsin back a decade by turning down that federal broadband money back in 2011. It was a devastating and incredibly damaging anti-rural action by Scott Walker. Not the only anti-rural action he made. His cuts to schools were devastating as well. But the Republicans have a terrible record on this issue. They haven't cared. They haven't delivered. And it is absolutely vital that Democrats in a position of power come through. Now, the infrastructure plan, as well as several of the other plans that have come down, the money's there. I mean, it's pretty good money, and there's some pretty good vision as regards how to do it. It's not as good as what Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders proposed during their presidential campaigns, but this is decent stuff. You can definitely work with what they're doing. And so what I would say is that's something that we have to fight for, and we have to make sure it comes through. But I would link it up, Nate, and I think you'd agree, with maintaining the post offices. Because by and large, when you're talking about setting up a business in a rural area, it's not always, you know, something that distributes. It's not always something that mails a lot of stuff, but it often is. And so you've got to have a strong post office and a strong universal delivery and also universal pickup and, you know, service in rural areas. If you combine a real big investment in broadband with a strengthening of rural post offices, and I happen to favor, you know, actually putting more money into rural post offices and making them service centers for small towns and for communities. I also favor reopening rural post offices that have been closed because the impact is so devastating when they're taken out of service. But you combine broadband with a commitment to postal, you can do a lot to revitalize the economy of small towns. And this is including towns that have suffered a lot of neglect in recent years.
Yeah, thanks, John. We're going to go away for a few minutes. Those two are joined at the hip, broadband and our postal service, no doubt about it. We'll be back in a few minutes, John, and we'll continue our discussion.